shirt. We're casting live on the sexiest network that broadcasts the truth that you'd ever conceive of, American Freedom Radio. Yeah. And I was just thinking about this. When we are talking about the truth, you find out that even amongst other people that you think you can be perfectly open and honest with whatever your truth is, they'll still get really angry with you anyway and say that your truth is just a little bit too extreme to them, so the truth would actually demonstrate credibility. Like, a non-human truth is, for instance, who all believe Israel played a part in 9/11, and none of them will talk about it. How interesting. The truth is the truth is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Risk everything for it, and you will gain everything from it. Now, speaking of the truth, we have a fabulous guest here today, Roxy from the Truth Denied radio show. Apparently, I'm breaking up really badly. Can you hear me, Roxy?
Yes, now I can hear you. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're coming through fine.
Okay.
Well, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Well, thanks, Vinny. And first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. And I am a show host as well, as you probably figured out, on the American Freedom Network, so radio network. We started The Truth Denied a little over a year and a half ago. And it started out with what you just said. You know, I was getting tired of going online and reading a bunch of garbage and not really being able to discern what was true from fiction. And especially, you know, I started out in the UFO community. That had been an interest of mine for 35 years, really. You know, I've always been fascinated by UFOs. So it really started out like that. And before you know it, I committed to 24/7, 7 days a week, creating a volunteer website, a blog site, Facebook, and then, of course, somebody asked me to host a show about a year ago. So, you know, I took it over. I hadn't done that before, and it's quite fun. My background has been in entertainment, so it wasn't a big deal. You know what I mean? It was easy to do, but you know, I love what you just said, Vinny, about the many different truths and perspectives that people have. I engage in conversations like this daily. And it is, in the beginning, this was very interesting to have great discernment on opinion versus fact. And the facts are not easy to find. I don't know if you encounter that yourself, but the actual facts are not easy to find. So what I did is I start doing my own investigations. Because if I want to know, for instance, one of the biggest ones we broke was Evergreen Aviation out in Arizona desert, which was a allegedly CIA-operated air park. But to the public, it looked like a boneyard. And it's listed as a public air park. And so I went on Google Earth and saw a lot of stuff from Google Earth, and I thought, how ridiculous if this is like an underground, you know, sort of facility. Why would it be on, you know, Google Earth? And then I drove down there with the team and some cameras, and sure enough, right on the front entrance, it said Evergreen Aviation. And I thought, wait a minute. And if anyone knows about Evergreen, you know, a lot of people who are into geoengineering, chemtrails, and all the rest of it, they know that Evergreen has been highly suspect for years and years and years with a number of questionable activities going on down there, you know?
Well, that's news to me. Thanks.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really? Well, did you even hear about the name Evergreen before?
Never.
At all? Never. Well, maybe you're just a...
I'm in New Zealand.
You're in New Zealand. I was just going to say, what country are you in? You're in New Zealand. I knew it was New Zealand or Australia. By the way, I love New Zealand. Absolutely. Are you born and raised in New Zealand?
Yep.
Yep.
It's basically, I'd characterize it. I went to LA when I was 14 years old. It's like LA 30, 40 years ago, like a 1970s type LA, you know, similar style of roads, similar style of culture that hasn't been completely destroyed yet, but we've still got all the modern technology that everybody in America has today.
Is that right?
roundabout. I mean, that's my estimation, having never lived in Los Angeles or been alive in the 70s.
Right, right, gotcha. Well,
so I could be wrong.
My background, I was born and raised in Hawaii. My father used to go to New Zealand all the time for sports fishing, which is really big, and you know, in New Zealand, and marlin fishing. So when I was in high school, my mom and dad almost moved us to New Zealand, and we were pretty excited about it. So I could actually be like living next door to you right now, but it never turned out that way.
I bet you're kicking yourself for that now.
Yeah, in a number of ways, but you know, my dad had changed his mind, you know, and we met a lot of people from New Zealand. They came and stayed with my mom and dad in Hawaii, and I guess you're called, and Kiwis, aren't you referred to as Kiwis?
Yeah, it's a particular type of fruit that you refer to, but right. We're not that gay.
But you're not what?
We're not that gay.
You know, okay. Well, that's what...
Not yet, anyway. In fact, speaking of which, we just passed the first hurdle of legalizing gay marriage.
Oh, good for you.
Meanwhile, they're selling off the state power companies, and they're going to double our electricity prices. But everybody forgot about that entirely when they started to talk about legalizing gay marriage.
I think we have a very similar movie being played in the United States.
Well, it's because that's why they call it the New World Order, because it's a global conspiracy. You step off the plane anywhere and you see the same types of uniforms. It's the such and such branch of the New World Order. That's all you see now.
I agree with you. We even have an international military. And speaking of that, you know, when we were talking about Evergreen, that's what's parked down there, is an international guard. And I thought, what's an international guard? You know, so I went way down the rabbit hole. I've got all the articles on it, the video, everything. Actually, it's pretty funny, because once the video was released at that point, it went viral. But I had so many people calling me out on it, saying that, you know, this wasn't real, and Evergreen was not at Pinal Air Park, and even on the ownership, I mean, they lease it, and they, you know, I gave it so much attention that recently, in the last 8 months, they've changed the name now to Marana Aerospace. Yeah, don't, you know, it's just, now I've got to start a whole, you know, culture of Marana Aerospace, just really Evergreen.
It's what these fracks always do, isn't it? It's like, oh, they figured out that this operation under this name is a scam, so we'll keep the scam going and just change the name. I mean, but you'd figure the link between the investigation would be really, really easy to just, you know, oh, it's this company, but now it's this company. Like Blackwater turns into Z, or Monsanto turns into God or something.
Yeah, right. That's a good way of saying it. But yeah, no, you think the public would figure it out. And by the way, FYI for the audience, listening audience right now, I did call Marana Aerospace. The number, by the way, is the exact same number as to Evergreen Aviation. And I spoke with the new guy, and I'll give you all his name. His name is Wally Mike. I've never been able to verify if that's a real name, because it sort of sounds like a cartoon.
Yeah, and, I was gonna right? say first Wile E. Coyote came to mind there.
Like, there you go.
Maybe it's a radio host version of Wile E. Coyote, so he's Wile E. Mike.
Very well, could be. He was a very nice guy.
Would say that he was Wile
E. But could be. It could be either. I mean, I don't know, but Wally Mike was his name.
Oh, and, that's right.
You know, and I told him that when I did, you know, went down there. Now, keep in mind, people, don't go telling on me. You know, when I called Wally Mike, I didn't tell him that I was a journalist. I didn't tell him about the movie I made, the documentary I made. And I just, you know, I was just a person. And I told him that the last time I went down that I was stopped by guards, and they would not allow me to proceed into this public air park. And I wanted to know why. And he was just really confused. He didn't know what had happened and why – you know, he agreed with me that it's a public air park and we have farmers who come down here for lunch. And I said, well, I want to come for lunch. I want to come and, you know, check it out. And he said, well, the only part of the field that you can't go to is, you know, where all the airplanes are. But yeah, we'd love to meet you in this and that, da, 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 da. And I said, well, they won't let me in. I've been down there 3 times and they won't let me in. They asked me to turn around. There's cameras everywhere and double gates. So it looks pretty official to me that they don't want the general public in. And he says, well, you know what? Next time you come down, just call me and I'll get you. I'll meet you at the front gate and we can have lunch and we can talk. So I haven't taken it up on it yet because it's, you know, I haven't had time to get down there. It's about an hour and a half drive for me. But I will. I will follow up. You can't take a camera in there. So, you know, I need to have a couple of witnesses with me. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. That's all I can say. This story will unfold.
They say that you can't take a camera. Did they specify that you can't take a dictaphone?
You can't take anything that you can record that you have been there.
So are you not able to take your brain that has memories and stuff either?
Well, you know, that's possible because they could do like a little microwave zap on my way out and then I'll forget I was ever there, right?
Yeah, like in Men in Black, you know. What you just saw was an empty plane yard. There weren't any aliens and there weren't any, you know.
Right. Yeah, and listen, Vinny, for the record and everyone listening to this show, if you ever see a video out that I've done and I say anything like that, there was nothing there, da-da-da-da-da, someone call the police because it means something is wrong. But yeah, we're going to proceed with it. There's another guy, his name's Shepard M. Bellis, and he's doing a documentary called Shade. I don't know if you know who Shepard is.
Shep sent me the link to the Shade thing earlier, and I put it up on my YouTube channel for him and gave him a place on Guerrilla Media and everything, yeah.
Right on. So you're familiar. So, you know, we had a chat one day on the phone and I just told him the whole nine yards and where it's sitting and where it's at and we should go down there with cameras. And he said, yeah, man, let's go. And then there's, of course, I don't want to tell too much about what we're going to do, but there's a couple other spots here where they test drones. That's number one. And number two is there's a Homeland Security parked right in the middle of the desert. It's pretty amazing. And it's got, if you look at Google Earth, you can't see the Homeland Security until you drive there. And then there's the building, and it's all, you know, like a fortress. And there are some, what appear to be runways that are gravel runways. And I don't know what kind of plane can run, you know, land on gravel. Well, I guess there are a lot of planes that can land on gravel, but it's not paved. But that shows up in Google Earth, and that's how I found the Homeland Security. So we may take a little visit out there. We may go and look at a place called Florence. It has a fairly large percentage of individuals who are Freemasons and a big Masonic building. We may check that out. We'll see, you know. But I'm really looking forward to taking a you know, we're going to take a day and just go checking all this stuff out. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, have you noticed that that's actually the idea? When you say that what you're doing, a lot of people go, oh, my God, that's so scary. You know, aren't you afraid of this, that, and the other? And it's just like, no, this is fun, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's now I will say this. When I turned the corner, when I got off the freeway, going down to what I thought was Pinal Air Park, and when we turned that corner and we were 50 yards away from the gate guards and I saw the words Evergreen Aviation, I was caught off guard. I had no idea Evergreen Maintenance. So we just passed the place, you know, we went and I was, adrenaline was rushing because I thought, oh my God, I've been right all along. But I didn't really expect it, you know what I'm saying? Like the sign to be out there and the whole nine yards. So, you know, you just do a little rethink, and it's mostly adrenaline, you know. You do get a rush. We were followed. You know, we hopped over to the other side of the freeway to do some thinking, and we got followed by a convoy of cars that dead-ended us on a place called Missile Road. I mean, it was just – and then I thought, what's Missile Road? Where the hell are – you know what I mean? So if you go with an open mind – to something like this, and you're not just all focused on what you can read into any of this, anything you want. So if you go with an open mind and a little bit of fun and a little bit of adrenaline pumping, you actually learn more. You can see both sides.
Well, and I think when you are excited or when you're afraid, your brain goes into overdrive and your memories become a lot more vivid and intense of those situations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You kind of think quicker in a crisis, so to speak. So, you know, that gets to be you get real focused. You're exactly right, and honed in on, you know, what do we do next? What do we do next? And so, yeah, these types of trips are exciting. You know, when we come back from the break, remind me to tell you about an actual drone situation that happened in our backyard. I'll tell you every bit of it, and it was just mind-blowing. And of course, we weren't prepared for it, so I can't wait to tell the story. But yeah, this should, you know, this is a passion for me, and Vinny, it sounds like it is for you. You know, that's why I do what I do. You know,
I'm not 100% sure if it's passion for me. I think it's actually really? Therapy.
Oh, therapy is a good word too. I think that's because you're not staying on the sidelines, you're actually doing something about it.
Yeah, I don't really feel much of a choice, you know. I can't go back working ever again, Roxy. I can't have a boss. I can't have a desk job or any of that stuff, man. Never again. This is what I'm here to do now, and that's what I'm going to do. We'll be right back after the break with Roxy Lopez from the Truth Denied Radio Show.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go. 'Cause we can't see the way it's going to be.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, it's gonna rain to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy, because the John Key Prime Minister that's supposed to be helping it freaking... My very special guest today is Roxy Lopez from the Truth Denied Radio Show. Now, Roxy, you wanted me to remind you about a drone situation that you found yourself in the middle of.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Vinny. This is really crazy cool. My husband and I were in the backyard, and the sun had already set, so it's pretty dark. No moon night. Pretty dark. We're getting some, you know, barbecuing, just he and I. And the side of the yard that the barbecue's on has no light either. And so we have a flashlight in one hand and a plate in another, because we're going to just take the steaks off the barbecue. And there's about 100 yards away from my house, there's a lake out there. And my back was facing the lake. My husband's eyes was facing, looking at the lake. So... I start to hand him the plate to put the steaks on, and all of a sudden he says, "Whoa, what the heck is that?" And I turn around and I see nothing, and I go, "What?" And he goes, "Whoa, I just saw a triangle with lights on it come out of nowhere from the lake." And I said, "What? There's nothing up here, hon." And he says, "No, man, that it went behind the roof of that house." So I turn around again. I think he's screwing with me, right? And I turn around again, and I said, "Honey, just put the steaks on here. They're going to burn." And he goes, "Well, there it is again," right? And, and I turn around, and there it is. And I'm like, oh, my God. Well, now it had come up. Now, the rooftop of the house behind us is about, I'd say, 15 feet at the peak, maybe 16 feet. It's a one-story. The house that's next door to us is a two-story, so that's probably like 25 feet tall at the peak of that house. And so what it does is it comes around the corner of the house in the back, the one story. That's how low it is. Comes through the two houses in the backyard, you know, behind us, a two-story and a one-story. Comes through those, comes right over the barbecue, swoops down like a bird about 30 feet above us, and just stops. Triangular, not reflecting any light. Not making a sound. And you got to know, I'm like, what the heck? My logical mind is trying to break this down to, is this a skydiver? Is this, you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, kind of that triangular square boxy look and very small. We figured it couldn't have been more than 20 feet long and wide. So it's pretty small. It's got no windows. It's got no exhaust. And it just stays above us. Now, we're so tripping that my husband's holding this big, you know, 1,000 candle watt flashlight in his right hand. And he, instead of pointing it up there at this thing, because it's black and dark and, you know, we can still see it, but we could have just shined that light, you know, that flashlight on it, probably really got a good look at it. But it stays above there, and of course, we're going back and forth saying, what is that? What is that? What is that? You know, I mean, you're just tripping. And I said, oh my God, I got to get the camera. So I run in the house to get the camera, and as I'm running back outside, he says, it went that away, which is pointed to the front yard. So I ran through the house and out the other side, and sure enough, it could come over the top of the two-story house, so about, you know, 25 feet, 30, above it, so very more like 30 feet in the air, and disappeared right in front of us, just into the black of the night, just totally disappeared. And there were streetlights out in front, and it didn't even reflect the light of the streetlights, so I don't know about this technology. But what I did find out was that we are, where I live, we are in the vicinity of drone testing. And when I threw it out to the public and, you know, said what it looked like, what it, you know, this and that, we did get some real decent people that used to work at NASA. A couple other military guys came back with some photos and matched it to the T, matched it to the T. So at least we got to see what a, you know, what do they look like? Thing that kind of blew my mind is it came into a residential area, you know, and that doesn't really make sense to me that, and then hovered above us. You know, I don't think it was seeking us out or trying to record anything. I think if anything, they were probably doing a little test to see if anyone could see them or would notice them. That's all I can think of.
Yeah. And a test to see if somebody spoke out about it, if anybody would believe them.
Right. Well, and that's a good thought too. People did believe me. They did believe us. Some people had even reported they'd seen a similar thing. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. So I can't say I've seen them before. I can't say I've ever seen them again. So that's when we went on the drone hunt. See, and that's when we came across the Homeland Security in the middle of the desert out towards Florence, east of here. Because I wanted to see these things in action, you know?
Yeah. And I find this the New World Order Protocol is just to, I don't know, you get something going somewhere, and if it works well, you start bringing it to other areas. And so now, I think it was in the news yesterday in New Zealand, now the police are starting to test and think about using drones on the New Zealand population. So same scumbaggery. Same scumbaggery, different country, different time,
yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
Because you guys have had the drones operating for what, over a year now?
Oh, God, more than that. It's just become public, you know, of the amount of money that's being put into this, you know, the surveillance stuff. But no, the drones have been set up for a while. As a matter of fact, I did some research. I went on a private pilot's blog site, you know, where you have to log in and then you see all these pilots talking to each other. It's just pilots. Nobody else is interested. They're very boring conversations. And what I did find on this private, actually, blog site, I did find a few of them talking about the drones, and they were talking about that the drones were now encroaching on the private airspace. You know, these are small planes that these, you know, private, you know, people who fly them around the state and things like that go, you know, don't go too far, maybe go the one state over and things like that. Small planes, small municipal airport, you know, blah, 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 flying in and out, just private plane owners. And they're rapping about something that happened 4 years ago. And it was in this area, and they gave the coordinates and the whole nine yards. And long story short is that a private plane, went down because it got hit by a drone. And so this became the top of conversation for all these pilots because the pilots were saying, look, man, they're changing like where we can fly and this and that. They're not being clear. So the further I went down that rabbit hole, and it took me months to do it, I found that the FAA, the military, they weren't being clear with the municipalities. And indeed, I have not found the information about the person whose plane went down, but the guy died. So a drone came out of nowhere, crashed into this private citizen's plane. This is roughly 4 years ago. And this guy died, and there was never anything in the paper, according to all these pilots. And
well,
you got to think,
that's, government seems adept at just covering up its mistakes. And more to the point, if anybody knowed about that knew, of course, just the extent to which drones are perhaps being used, the amount of danger to air traffic control, again, private aircraft, things like that. I think people who aren't in the know, you know, with secret flight paths of drones and going, goodness knows what else, what other information they don't share. It actually poses a risk to people in the air.
Oh, my goodness.
At least.
At least the air, and if they crash and it's over some, like, public highway, people on the road or people in houses, you know, so... no, it's definitely a risk. And, you know, you got to keep in mind one thing I like about the pilot blogs is that they are very sort of mundane and unemotional. They don't get excited. It's not like a Facebook fiasco, if you will. They really speak in factual language, coordinates, and concern for their airspace. And, you know, and they're very positive as far as, you know, can somebody write this up? We should take it to the FAA. They report how many reports they've written up collectively as a, you know, pilots group to defend themselves, defend their, you know, private airspace. And they're losing. They're losing that game, at least here between Marana County, down south Tucson, all the way up here to the area of Florence and Coolidge and Casa Grande. They're losing their airspace. And what's between this airspace is Pinal County's Evergreen, you know, International Guard is all there. And then what you got in Tucson is Davis-Montham. So what is this? What is all that? And then if you got right in the middle of all this, the Homeland Security. So what do you think's happening? I mean, the military is definitely encroaching on private airspace, big time.
It sounds kind of like, well, there's two things that come to mind here. First is the third Matrix movie, okay, where the city of the machines is surrounded by all these air defenses and stuff like that. Absolutely impenetrable. Nobody's ever managed to make it into that city for 100 years because the air defenses, the city, and all this kind of stuff, because that's where all their central bases of operations and their power supplies and blah, 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 all are. That's one thing that occurs to me. And the second thing that occurs to me is a recent documentary called The Pipe about a small Irish village who were taking on Shell oil to keep this pipeline from being constructed. And this giant ship, this giant pipeline ship comes in, and there's this little boater there. And, of course, all of this little fishing village, they all use the sea every single day for their friggin' livelihoods, don't they? And they were up against these massive, bullying, corporate, police-backed, security, intimidating, beating with batons, this kind of thing, and yet they still got in their boats every day and got in the way of this giant ship and saying, you are threatening my livelihood. I'm not moving. You move. I don't care that you cost $100 million a week. I don't care that you are 2,000 times the size of my boat. You move. Because this is my livelihood you're messing with. And that's what I think is the type of gall, the type of grit that is necessary now from the US population in order to defeat anything. Doesn't matter what the agenda is, whether it's drones, fluoride, etc. No. You move. We're the ones that are supposed to be here. You got no rights here. Go away.
I agree with you. I mean, that's the whole idea of unification. You know, everybody can have their own take on whatever and their own opinion. And, you know, as you started the show, is their own truth. But the reality is if you unify under one umbrella, which is the same concept over and over again, what you just illustrated, which is, A, if it's secret, you need to tell us. And then we get to choose if we want it or we don't want it. B is, you're lying to us and something's wrong with this picture and we don't want to do it anymore. And if the, you know, people today, in today's world here, you know, we'll be flaunting, you know, statements on social media networks that, you know, we've never had, you know, a real revolution here and this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I tell them, hey, you got to look back into the 60s and 70s. And you got to look back to what the U.S. did when it came to the Vietnamese War. The citizens of this country were tired of seeing, you know, their young men and women, children getting drafted into the army and the navy, you know, to the military, and getting killed, slaughtered in Vietnam over what? Money and control. And the people of this nation saw that and they said, no more, no more, you know. And of course, you know, with Kennedy, you know, then Kennedy, you know, Kennedy's going to end the war and they take him out. But, you know, look at what came after that. You know, eventually that war, you know, ended pretty quickly. The U.S. citizens weren't going to take it anymore. People died trying to shut that war down. And I think that the tactics that the military, government, corporations, the United States of America's corporation, lobbyists and the money and the banksters, if you will, I think it's all been the same. It's always been the same agenda. If you let these people in, and when I say these people, I mean corporations or private banking, if you let them get away with something, they will keep going for it. And the Bernankes and the Paulsons, you know, doing the freaking, you know, we need more money. You know, they're talking about another stimulus for EQ3, third quarter stimulus and this and that. But see, this is where people of this country actually think that it's all too much to keep up with. And you know what? It boils down to government's too big, military's too powerful, your taxes aren't going to the roads and what they're supposed to go to. The Federal Reserve needs to be shut down because it's open, it's owned and operated by private bankers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, you know, lineage, thousands of years, whatever you want to call it, then and your United States corporation has busted the bank open wide, and it's one big frickin' Ponzi scheme. That's where we need to focus and say no more. The regime needs to end.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And also the usage of the word regime to characterize everybody who happens to be our enemy needs to end as well. Because, you know, the Obama regime doesn't have anything to do with the Syrian administration, does it? And yet the Obama administration is called administration and the Syrian regime is called a regime. And it's repeated, and I counted, 15 times in 1 3-minute broadcast. We'll be right back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita,
coming out everywhere, man.
Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's amazing how Johnny Cash knew all the bases where the drones were being manufactured way back then in the 70s. It's amazing. Okay.
The drone tour.
Yeah. Well, see, as I figure, like this would have been surrounded by drones from day dot anyway. What's changed?
Yeah, that's I totally agree. You know, it's amazing. You know, you brought up The Matrix. One of my favorites. Favorite movie, movies, I should say, series of movies. I think it was The Matrix that we, you know, we now use that phrase, you know, what a brilliant movie, because we've really come to use that phrase as defining what's real and what's not real, and what is inside the camp, if you will, the private camp, the secret societies, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same. And it seems like there's always been that division. There's a division of the people who are in the know and the people who know nothing. You know, there's that's all there is.
Right? And people should know that they have nothing to fear from people who know nothing.
What?
No. People should know that they have nothing to fear from those who know nothing.
No, those are the scariest people, the people who know nothing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm just trying to set people's minds at ease by lying to them, kind of like the church.
I'm gonna reach over and slap you.
No, I actually have a T-shirt that says, I wear it to music concerts all the time. It says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups.
All right.
Yeah.
That's more like it. Okay. So, yeah, and then you mentioned the church. Oh, my God. That's the other thing about this is secret societies have one big umbrella, you know, and it's government, corporations, churches, Masonic groups, the Knights Templar, you know, We should make a song, huh, Vinny?
Yeah. It's the police, it's the churches, it's the avatars and archons and smoke on the water and cocaine on the mirrors, you know.
Oh, that would be a great song. But, you know, it's the truth. And I like that you're lighthearted. That's how you know, I hear your commercials fly by in my shows every now and then. And you, you know, the way you approach things is like, you know, or you'll go crazy, you know. And I watch people go crazy. I watch people become an activist, don't you? And then they start getting the data and getting the information, making the flyers and building that website and going out in the streets. And before you know it, within a year or less, they're calling me every hour. Freaking out about this, freaking out about that. Did you see this? Did you see that? And all of a sudden, and I think that war is on our mind, and I think that is exactly what they want. They're really comfortable with the insanity. No, they're not trying to make anybody insane so that they can throw you in a FEMA camp. It's just especially the American public, and God forgive me for saying this, but it's the truth. You're so easy to play.
Yeah. And we have no defense against it. You know, if you don't think you're easy to play, flash a naked woman in front of a man. Boom. Instantly. The image is absorbed and a reaction already occurs. You've got no protection from the information you receive. You've got no protection from the images that are placed in front of you. You've got no protection from subliminals. Nothing. Right. You've got to find ways, just like if you eat a bad hamburger or something like that, you've got to find ways of getting that processed properly and then filtering it out of you. And one thing that occurs to me is that this stuff that we talk about is so traumatic, the connotations of which even more so, that have you ever stayed up all night thinking one thing over and over and you've not had anybody to discuss it and put it into perspective in you, and by the time you're in the morning, you haven't slept and you're in a cold sweat, and then one person says one thing and you go, oh, I wish they'd told me that earlier on in the night. I wouldn't have spent all my time worrying about this. And sure enough, this is what happens. Sometimes I'll have mates who come up to me and they're in that sort of proto-freak-out stage, and I'll make a joke about what they're worried about, and they suddenly realize that that's about all that it has the effect on them. Okay, the only effect that all of these things have on you is a psychological and an interpretational thing. While you have no protection from them, you can redress your own thoughts and understand how they affect your mind. And in that understanding, you realize just how fracking hilarious those things are. And through laughing, the endorphin releases. It takes the stress out of your body.
I like that. I like that a lot. And it is all about taking the stress. You know, when you're obsessed with something, as you just described, you know, it gets worse because then you start, you know, the human mind's an amazing thing. And there's two things about the human mind that I absolutely love, which is it's creative and to infinitum. And then there's another thing that I don't like about the human mind is that because it's creative to infinitum, by the time, like you say, you wake up in the morning, you're a nervous wreck with 1,001 scenarios of what way this could go. none of which are true. Probably none of which are true. And have you ever, you know, speaking of, have you ever had that happen where at the end of the day, none of what you thought was going to happen happened? And hence, you wasted your time thinking about it. You wasted your precious energy thinking about all this stuff. So I think it's human to do that. And then there's, you know, the opportunity for me, I say, you know, if you, for instance, if it's something regarding you having your rights taken away from you, let's say, in a number of ways, then don't sit on the sidelines and watch that game. Get involved. And there's always something that you can do. And I notice that more people than not will always give an excuse of either time, money, see, that how why they can't get involved. It'll be time or money
or I'm too tired, or or there's something wrong with my body, or it's not possible. I'm not capable of doing it. In fact. You know how the human race has an infinite capacity for inventing things? It goes for inventing reasons to not invent things as well.
Oh, sure it does. That's disempowerment right there.
How many?
It's full-on
disempowerment. We're so powerful at creating ways to disempower ourselves.
That's right. It's a reverse negative.
There's a joke that's made out of something that's real that could stress you out.
Well, it's a George Carlin type of mentality, okay? You know, that's what George Carlin made a living doing for God knows 40 years, taking the obvious and turning it into where the audience can laugh at themselves of how, you know, how we're all idiots at one time or another. And you're right, how powerful the beings we are. And we are powerful beings, and we've been also taught, though. We're being taught how to systematically become quote unquote zombies. It's all too much, Vinny. It's just all too much. I can't look at it anymore. I can't turn on the news. I can't read it. I can't hear it. I can't talk about it. It's all too much.
Yeah. Well, it's just like they use the word can't all the time, and I just say, look, You are a cunt, okay? for F's sake, get off your ass, stop being a cunt, and start being a can, right? Because you can.
Yes, you can.
Other reason than the fact that you can. And just like the other reason that you invented means that you can. It's just a made-up thing, just like money. You know, if a banker wants to make $100 million or something like that, he goes to a printing press. If you and me want to make $100 million, Roxy, we're not going to accomplish it by morning. Stop everybody's just putting so many, I don't know, what is it? Like if a music artist nowadays, for example, they're first starting off, they haven't done anything, and they say, oh, I need to pay $200 an hour studio recording time, blah, blah, blah. Dude, get a microphone and a computer, you got what you need. And you can spend infinitum hours recording stuff. You don't need any of that crap anymore. Anybody who tells you that the stuff that you're missing out on and the stuff that you need and to do blah, 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 hasn't got any idea what human potential is capable of. You are capable of creating a way to do stuff without stuff. Okay? That's what creativity is. Doing what you can with what you got.
It is true. And then we educate people on that everyone has an ability to share in the task. And, you know, some people are good at one thing, other people are good at another, some are good writers, some are good photographers. And we encourage people that you have something you can bring to the table. We know you do. And sure enough, they do. Some people have technical skills, radio skills, whatever it is, organizational skills, the list is infinitum of what you can do. You're telling me that all this list right here, and you don't have one thing that you can, right?
Yeah. Like, it's like you've got infinite potential. That's what you got. And what you're trying to do is make finite that which is infinite, which is impossible. It's not possible for you to make finite what is infinite. You can't restrict yourself. You literally can do anything. And what the New World Order is trying to convince us all to do is convince us that the impossible is
possible, that it is possible to make you incapable of doing anything at all. And sure enough, you believe the lie, you sit there, you live it all your life, and you think, oh mate, this must be what life is all about, doing absolutely nothing except what I'm told, just so I can survive. And it only takes one person to change your mind about that, because it's so easy to see the truth. We'll be right back. I think I am a pioneer, and I have been for most part of my life in so many different areas. It doesn't matter where I get my job or be employed or anything like that. I always wind up on top or fired because the person on top doesn't want to be replaced. That's how society is. If you're a creative and diligent, honorable, decent person who doesn't limit themselves and doesn't lie to themselves about how great they are, you really do great things. And all of the other people that don't want to see you succeed, or who have allowed themselves to believe those lies that they're not great, don't want to see you, making them look bad, making them feel bad about themselves. And so their failure to be brilliant in their own way, they make it your problem. It's not my problem. It's yours. Stop blaming other people for everything that happens to you, and then you'll recognize just how powerful ownership can truly be. Own your mistakes and own your triumphs, and you will own yourself. Roxy Lopez from the Truth Denied radio show is my guest today. Should we take some callers, Roxy? We're both radio show hosts, huh?
Oh, sure. Let's rock and roll if you got any.
Yeah. And what the interesting thing is, ladies and gentlemen, isn't your show on right after this, Roxy?
It sure is.
Well, see, have you got a guest on today?
I do. George McClure is coming on, and he's going to rock everybody's world for sure. He's a writer and a reporter. Real unique man. So I really look forward. The advertisements are up, and everybody can go to the player on thetruthdenied.com and just keep listening. If you're listening now, just keep listening.
Yeah. Okay. So the caller number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 if you want to call in. Now, we're talking over, what was it? The word regime, okay, and how it's repeated over and over again in the media in regards to any government that we're supposed to hate or go to war with, basically, is called a regime rather than administration, is called a dictator rather than a president, or anything of that nature. And it gets to me that the wording that you use to describe things always connotes something in the mind.
Okay, so you can use certain words and certain images will be concocted, etc. Right. Does that mean you're supposed to be incredibly careful with the words that you use, or does it mean you should be as explicit as possible? What do you think, Roxy?
Well, I think that you're right. Words carry connotations, and they have a direct impact on your subconscious, whether you know it or not. And using your example, dictatorship, and I use the word occasionally. It does elicit a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness when you hear the word. It's pretty obvious. I mean, anybody that can get honest with themselves, if they hear the word dictator, even when somebody's joking, you know, you can see a couple guys in a bar, you know, and playing pool or whatever. And if somebody uses that word, like, oh, stop being such a dictator, or a slave driver is another one. You know, it definitely elicits a feeling.
What about scumbaggery?
I like that word. I love that word.
It's appropriate, has the similar negative connotations, but none of the negative feelings associated with.
You know, you're making a really good point, because I just recently had a guy named Patrick Roddy on the show. He's from Ireland or somewhere. He's got that thick accent, as you do, and he calls it all scumbags and scumbaggery. And when he's talking, it's hilarious, because he'll be like really serious about something and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, breaking open a case wide open, and then he'll say, you know, it's just scumbaggery, you know, and it's like you have to laugh because it makes you feel good. And it's sort of, now look at the word scumbag. It's not, when you say scumbag, of course, your accent has a lot to do with it, because when you English and Australians and New Zealand, you know, all of you with these types of accents, Scottish, Ireland, even English accents.
My favorite accent by far is the South African accent.
Yes, I love that accent.
Oh, mate, they would crack me up for days hearing a South African accent all day.
Oh, I love it. My accountant is from South Africa, and I love his accent, so you nailed it. But when y'all say something like the word scumbaggery, it just sounds so much lighter. Like, I don't know, scumbaggery, when I say it, sounds, you know, it doesn't have the effect. But you're right.
No, it does. It does.
It doesn't, dude. Okay, scumbaggery. It just sounds too hard.
Different degrees, and it might be like Freemasonry, of course, and it's all a matter of how you say it. Like if I'm on a megaphone, for instance, I'll say John Key is a scumbag,
right?
Engaging in untold quantities of scumbaggery, you know, and it's a lot more amusing when it's amplified out of a voice, because scumbaggery, while a very serious charge, the word itself is not actually born of seriousness. It's born of hilariousness.
Yeah, I could dig it, and I agree with you. It does elicit a very, it's like a joke, but at the same time, it has truth. It rings truth, and you know, I know here in our country, when somebody says the word scumbag, you know, oh my God, what a scumbag. Not scumbaggery, just what a scumbag. You know, it's not as harsh as saying, you know, like dictator or what have you, or regime. Regime elicits, anyway, for me.
Wait a second.
What?
A dictator is somebody who's over you, but it's usually, in fact, it's police, I found. Hire detective police. We have this police program, you know, like cops in America. We've got police 10-7 in New Zealand. And he calls them scumbags and mongrels and trash. And it's one of those insulting names that you give to somebody who's lower in stature than you, is to call them a scumbag. But to give somebody who has more authority than you a label that is negative is to call them a dictator. Maybe we just need to stop thinking of these people as superior to us.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I completely agree. This has been a topic of mine as well. Somebody called me yesterday, and we were having a lengthy conversation about this very thing. And the individual was saying, you know, we need to, kept saying the 99% and the elite, the, you know, powers that be, Illuminati, and I said, and Bilderberg, whatever. Even though, yes, we should be aware of our predators, no doubt. Every animal, mammal, life form on this earth is aware of its predator. Even a tree is aware of a bug that's eating its leaves or termites that's eating its trunk. It is aware of its predator. But the power we're giving the predator, which is what you just said, we are calling them the powers that be. I'm sorry, there are 7 billion people on this planet. We are 7 billion strong people on this planet. We got a small percent of, as you, to use your terminology, scumbags trying to orchestrate what they orchestrate in the New World Order. We can kick their asses.
They got nothing. Okay? No more than there's a war between men and maggots.
That's right. This is the Wizard of Oz. Pull back the curtain. Who's back there? The little tiny man going, oh, they just found me out. I'm not the big fat Wizard of Oz running the show. Oops. And that's really the reality of it. And people, you know, the other thing that people need to get their head on their butts about is that, but they, the disempowerment aspect, again, when you tell somebody, hey, what we just talked about, we're stronger, we're bigger, we're massive, we are the owners of this planet. 7 billion people versus I don't know how many, but it's a drop in a bucket. But they own all the monetary funds. They own all the money. You know, what are we going to do? They'll hurt me. They'll take my job. It's like, you know what? Exactly.
What do you got to lose? What do you
got
to lose?
You got nothing to lose. Janis Joplin said it. It must be true. You know what I mean? Back in the 60s, I don't know if you know my reference, but she said, you know, when you have nothing else to lose in anything in life. I mean, isn't every step of the way? And I think that humanity, and I'm not going to just say United States citizens, humanity, parts of humanity, how's about that? Parts of humanity have gotten lazy, conditioned, had it easy for a long time. I'm sorry, we had an up market in the United States since 1987. You know, we had a little crash, 87, 88, 89, and then it corrected and it went through the roof. And people were buying homes for $400,000, putting down 3%, which is $4,000. And then they looked at their payment sheet and it said, you only have to pay $600 a month. I'm sorry. Did you not look at this subprime mortgage and say to yourself, $600 a month times 30 years does not equal $400,000? And by the way, the shark loan, you don't pay back $400,000. You pay back three times the amount that you borrowed. Now, that's stupidity. And that's the free lunch syndrome. All right. That's your own stupidity. That part of it. Yes, the market was predatory towards you. I've been subjected to being, subjected by predators myself. That's how I learned my lessons. But you hit the nail on the head, Vinny. If we don't take self-accountability for all our decisions, all our own, as an individual, you know, when I fail on something, I have to say to myself, what can I learn from it? You know, once my ego's out of the way, I can say, yeah, I really screwed that one up. What can I do differently? And then make amends and move on. But somehow there's a stigma going on. The ego's in the way. The conditioning and the brainwashing by the government. Yes, that's in play. But we should be smarter, wiser, and more adept to our predators.
Because
come on.
Okay. There's no reason why anybody should get eaten by a bear in a freaking country where people can legally carry around a .357 Magnum on their hip. Okay, I'm sorry. That's stupid. Tim Washington, D.C., you are on the air.
Hey, what's happening, Vinny?
I haven't heard from you for a long time, man, so I'll tell you what. Whatever's happening suddenly got a lot better.
Yeah, I heard it rocked. I was on Facebook now. Roxy says she's going to be on the show. I said, let me call in so I can talk to her, you and Roxy.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. You know, I sent you some pictures of chemtrails on the 15th of August. You probably see it on your Facebook page. I sent you some chemtrails from D.C.
All right. That's great. Was that on the profile page or was that on Chemtrails Kill page? Or
The Troop Denied page. I sent you and Vinny some pictures of chemtrails.
Thank you very much for taking the time to do that.
Anytime I get a chance, I'll take pictures up and then post them to both of your Facebook pages.
Absolutely.
I was listening to what you're saying about we live in like the Wizard of Oz. I guess maybe we need to find that little dog Toto's and pull back that curtain so we can be.
Hey, I reckon we could all be a little bitch if we wanted to be.
Yeah, but you know something? I was listening to a little bit of Roxy. I'm on the street now, but it's all psychological. And when I started dipping into mind control and I started seeing a lot of the patterns, I was watching a movie and the guy said something that made a lot of sense. He said, the way, if you want to take over a third world country, you just can't go in there and try to take it over because the people feel like they have nothing to lose and you'll be met with resistance. But if you go in that third world country, give them jobs, give them money, give them a different way of life, and then when you decide to take it over, the people will not resist because they feel like they have something to lose. Mm. So I'm like, right. Wow.
It's kind of like getting your, when you've got a government job or when you're getting food stamps or something like that and a political question comes up, you think to yourself, you know what? If I say something, I might lose my job. I might not be able to buy food next week. So you shut up and you let the person who's telling you all these lies keep giving you the money.
Exactly. So even though I didn't think too much of the Occupy Wall Street because I saw that coming. I figured it was already infiltrated. But you saw the people who felt like they had nothing to lose, they went out there and were doing more of the fighting. And the people who felt like they had something to lose, they were at work. Trying to look down on the people, trying to judge people. But I'm like, yeah, but these people have a cause. They might be misled in a certain way, but they got out there. I went to the Occupy Wall Street a couple of times. I even talked with some people. And these were people who had nothing to lose, so they voiced their opinion much more than someone who felt like they had something to lose.
Mm-hmm. And I think basically the challenge of our times, Tim, is letting people know that everything that they think they've got, there is already a plan and there is already a machine that has already started rolling to wipe all of it out, including your life, your possessions, your family, your friends, everything that you hold dear will no longer exist in the future. So in reality, we have nothing left to lose. All right, Tim, thank you for your call, man.
Oh, okay.
Roxy Lovages
is
my guest. Oh, thanks, Tim. Man, you take it easy, man, because I know DC is a real scary place to live with all those politicians and 3,000 children that go missing every May the 1st to take part in child sacrificing rituals. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Bonkers.
End of my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know I care about is sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me. I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man,
I get free thrills, baby. It's called ambushing the Prime Minister with a handy cam when he least expects it and ask him a question about the UN's plans and the and that they've tabled to take 50% control over New Zealand's armed forces and everybody else's too. You can ask a real, real, real sensitive and slippery question as a truther, and all you got to do is have the gall, the balls, and the what have you to be there and make sure that it's recorded and put on YouTube for all the world to see, because otherwise it's just a story that you have to retell over and over again rather than a link that anybody can send to anybody to see that anybody can do it over and over again too. Roxy Lopez is my guest from the Truth Denied Talk Radio show, and she'll be going live on her show in about, it usually right after my show on, like, what was it, Fridays and Mondays?
It sure is. It'll be in about 35 minutes, yeah, 7 to 9 Central.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, we love the fact that nowadays your location matters not in order to do a radio show. People can do it on the road now with 4G phones. You can do a professional broadcast. This is what we now have the capacity to do. And I think that during the first American Revolution, it was creative people who had utilized newly available technology like printing presses to spread information everywhere. Now, not only did you have to make sure that your information was accurate, compelling, well presented, also distributed in any way possible. Volunteers, it's been handed down many, many times. Anybody ever received a DVD secondhand from somebody else, or maybe some truther who's like printed out 1,000 of them, just hand them out on the streets, or even seen it being done? All right. We are the pamphleteers. We are the ones who are running around saying that the British are coming. Hell, the British are here. And that whole British system, the whole East India Tea Company, the kind of system that you would see on the movie Aliens, you know, with space marines and things like that, who are going around doing the bidding for the massive corporations that really run everything. That's what we got already. It's about time we realized just how far we are going down a slippery slope, and put the brakes on and set the reset button, because whoever the heck you're being put in front of you to vote for now ain't going to solve it all. This problem cannot be solved by one person. But then again, it can be solved by one person as long as everybody at the same time realizes that they are that person. That's what I'm talking about. Don't rely on anybody else to save you. You can save yourself. You have the ability to. Why don't you? Roxy?
Good question. You know, the second album that I recorded with, I think it was A&M Records, was called Save Yourself. And this was back in the mid-90s. And that was basically what the album was about. It was about the idea of the only one that can save me is me. And it's so true. It boils down to it. First, you've got to be an individual and have that individual realization for yourself of how much power you're giving away every day, every time you say certain words like they did this to me or they this or they. Who's they? Turn it back on yourself and say, what kind of choices are we making? You know, we screw up. We learn from our mistakes. That's all groovy. But once you can become self-accountable and self-sustainable through your own contributions, now you can be a part of something that's bigger. Because if you're saying it's them, responsible for everything that's going on in the world, then you're self-centered and you're not going to see the rest of the picture. You're self-centered and you're self-serving. And guess what?
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic? Is that
If you think it's everybody else's fault, then you're self-centered. But if you think, how can I change? What can I do? You're actually centered. How it ironic is that?
It is ironic. It really is. But it's so true. And when you get unself-centered, kind of like uncensored, yeah, you can see things for what they are, and then you become part of teams because you don't have the ego. The ego gets in the way of joining up with everybody because I'm so unique. No, we're not so freaking unique. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And really, the reality is, you know, when you get into that focus of really sort of becoming one with it all, whatever you want to call it, that all happens by osmosis. You're not in control of that. You just start attracting different things. No, I don't need to read The Secret because it's not a secret. Sorry to the person who wrote The Secret. I own the book. Right? But it's nothing new. It's a reminder, a validation maybe, but it's nothing new. We attract what we want to. And if we're talking about crap all day long, and he did, and she said they, and the theys, I love the theys, they said, and I'll ask people, I say this all day long to people, who's they? Well, you know, those people. Who are those people? Well, the ones that were running the place. What place? What are we talking about? Give me a name. You know, if it's Bank of America, tell me Bank of America. Oops. Yeah.
This reminds me of a conversation, right? I had with a listener who you know, sometimes you get a listener who just basically,
yeah, occasionally
they believe in a lot of the things that you're talking about, and for the most part agree with you. Yeah. There's a few conspiracies that they haven't come to terms with yet, like chemtrails or something like that. And they act exactly like one of the brainwashed, mind-controlled, dipshite Muslims that we all come to expect on the things that will call you a conspiracy theorist and a tinfoil hat wearer and blah, 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 blah. And you just get to the point where you're so frustrated and angry that this person judges you for something that you're believing or doing when it's none of their business. And what he says is that what I'm doing is dangerous. And I go, who is it dangerous? Who what's it damaging? And he says, well, there's that person who's sitting in their car. No, what person? Name me a single person on the fracking planet that I have hurt with this radio show. Point me in that direction. I want to see how radio waves that come out of somebody's computer after them purposely choosing to listen to me has damaged them beyond repair, has managed to break a leg, or has managed to destroy some of their equipment. You know, like my radio waves came out and they started to attack your modem and smashed it and picked up a ball peen hammer and smashed it in two pieces. You know, that kind of stuff. Show me that. How am I dangerous? No. This isn't the fact that I'm dangerous. This is the fact that you're blaming me for all of your freaking problems, mate. Okay? And your problems are not my fault. Your reactions to this radio show are not my fault either. If there are any consequences from authority that may befall me as a result of doing this radio show, I haven't seen any so far. Bring it on. Because I'll bet that after the hundreds and hundreds, literally, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different guests that I've had on this radio show, I guarantee that a big stink will be kicked up if anything happened to me, don't you? Well, at least I would really hope so. Maybe everybody's just been using me for so that they can get archives and stuff. I don't know. But most of them are really, really nice people who I believe would come to my aid. And that's what this movement is actually about, coming to the aid of everybody who needs it.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. We do it because we love it. We do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because it's what we're doing today, and I can change my mind anytime I want to. I don't have to do this tomorrow, and you don't have to do it tomorrow. Nobody's, you know, you said something earlier in the show, coming into a break, you said that you never want to have a boss again. You never want to have that, you know, 9-to-5, blah, blah, blah. You know, you made that choice for yourself. And not only did you make the choice, you defined and created another means in which you feel more comfortable with your life, which you makes you obviously happier. And it may be, you know, it's not about the almighty dollar. What people don't realize is 100 years ago, life was not about the almighty dollar for the general person on this planet. Life was about growing your own food, having a big family, going to church on Sunday, whatever never made them tick. But it wasn't about you get up every day and worry about where your next meal is going to come from. And that part, my friends, you can undo in a heartbeat, just like Vinny did. I've never been a part of a system that made me work from 9 to 5. You know, I can't do it. You know, I just can't do it. I think it's stupid. I mean, and no offense to anybody. And then as far as the responsibility goes to, you know, you were saying about people harming you, harming them with your shows and this and that, that's baloney. Because if you don't want to listen to Vinny's show or you don't want to listen to my show, we didn't make you listen to the show. You can turn it off. If there's some, that's what I do. Something, I mean, and I don't, and I'm bored or whatever it is, or they're like really offensive, or I just click it off. I got other things to do. No one's making you listen to it. If you're listening to it, it's because you're inspired. If you're listening to something that you don't want to listen to and it's making you angrier and angrier by the second, it's, you're a drama queen.
Yeah.
You're into drama and you can't turn it off. You're addicted to it and you can't turn it off and you can't do anything about it. And I'm sorry, you know, you can. You can do anything about just most anything. The whole idea of accountability that people have relinquished is the very reason why you're enslaved by the system. Ah.
They're trying to make us just like they are. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about the they, I talk about scumbaggery. Okay, yeah. That is the element, okay? The actions, mindsets, portents of scumbags is what's known as the general broad spectrum of scumbaggery. And you have to actually commit something that's sort of unforgivable in order to achieve a level of connotation like scumbaggery. Like Tony Blair, for example, a man who got Europe, got UK into war with Iraq, scumbaggery. George W. Bush. Getting the United States to pass into the Patriot Act, scumbaggery. Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, George H.W. Bush, Clinton, both of them. You know, you can list a long, long list of people that have knowingly and willfully engaged in scumbaggery, who can be named, whose crimes are great, and they are still walking around today getting paid $100,000 a pop to do speeches to a bunch of sycophantic wannabe leaders in local area villages or whatever who pay $1,000 a seat, $1,500 or $4,000 to get a handshake with a picture taken. That's what these people are doing now. They're going around saying, I have engaged in scumbaggery. I got away with it. And if you want to be a scumbag, then come and bask in the scumbaggery I have wrought and get a snapshot so the filth will last forever. Those kind of people, that is the they.
Yep. OJ comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But now look at him. He's insane. He's robbing, like, I don't know, casinos in Vegas or something. I think,
well,
they're,
I think that's kind of justifiable, though. I mean, the casinos rob everybody else, but...
Sure. No, I mean, that's fair game, right? That's why he keeps getting out of jail. But, no, it's your perfect example. And call a spade, people. And then, you know what? On the end of the day, it's the people, it's the we, the people that need to just say no more. And you can say no more. And you can, you know, somebody said to me, how can I not participate? Then, you know, stop buying that type of toothpaste. Start, look at everything you're buying from that corporation, just stop buying it. Because there's other stuff to buy, right?
People always ask themselves, what can I do? How can I not participate? As if it's a rhetorical question that has no answer.
Right.
Stop doing that, first of all. Then you'll start finding.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a lot of things you can do. And guess what? You know, it's like somebody who's trying to lose weight. You don't get it all done in one day. You didn't put it all on in one day. So you're not going to get it all undone in one day. It's going to take a little time. Take it one step at a time. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Slowly cut the crap out of your life and slowly start putting more good stuff in. It's the only way to travel. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieastwoodshow.com.
Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love.
Oh yeah.
It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on.
It's getting hot.
You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning.
But I know what you mean.
But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
Welcome back.
It's business. It's business time.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio. My very special guest, Roxy Lopez, joins me, and we also have now a caller, 318 area code. What's your first name and state you're calling from?
Hey, I win the prize. This is Chris from Louisiana. I spoke to my friend Roxy last week for the first time.
Welcome to the show, man. What's on your mind?
I just had a couple of comments. First, I find it interesting that, Vinny, you're a musician, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a singer, and I kind of make my own instruments. Like, I made up the hand moniker the other day. Listen to this. So on and so forth.
Stay away from that skin flute, though, right?
Yeah.
My comment is, I find it interesting that there's so many in the Truth Movement that are musicians. The two of you, you know, I can go down the line. You already know who they are, but I guess it's because we are right brain folks. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
No
such thing. I heard in theory that there's no such thing as left brain, right brain. I mean, they did a test on some rats in a maze, and the rats found their way through the maze. Then they cut off a bit of a brain. Rats still found his way through the maze. Cut off a bit more of the brain. Still found his way through. So we don't know what part of the brain does what. I think that it's more like the cloud. You know how those Apple products, you know, you change your calendar on your iPhone and it changes on your iMac at home kind of thing or at work? I think it's like that. I think it's a lot of people in the Truth Movement are capable of downloading that creativity, that information, and getting in tune with it.
Well, like you say, the more that you learn or talk to people, the more you realize you don't know. Except when we do know something's wrong. That's why you guys are doing what you're doing. My other comment is, speaking of they, the first thing that comes to mind is David Icke likes to talk about the reptilian thing, which I don't really know anything about. I've heard him talk, of course, but when I start to think about it, it's like, you know, maybe he's onto something, because these people, whoever they are that control the machines of the world, don't seem to think like the rest of us as far as compassion, you know, humanity. I mean, or maybe they really are something other than human, or they're coming from another part of the brain that is strictly reptilian, like he says. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, there's. I just interviewed David yesterday, and we spoke about this very thing. Now, a lot of ancient cultures all have similar stories. Some are talking about reptiles. Some are talking about sky people. Some are talking about entities that possess demons, etc. And what he's saying is simply what a lot of ancient cultures and I think the Gnostics, I think he was referring to, talked about archons. Archons are non-physical beings that are capable of possessing other beings. And they have no creativity. They have no compassion. And they're envious. And the reptilian thing is about sort of the mindset as well as, in some cases throughout history, sort of literal referencing of this. But if you talk about the reptilian brain, you ever been in a conversation with somebody who they get you really angry and you fire back something at them instantly without thinking about it, that's kind of cruel, mean, callous, and you know for a fact that if you'd stopped, taken three deep breaths, waited 10 seconds, then responded, your response would have been different. That's a reptilian brain response. Okay, that's the lower cortex, your fight or flight mechanism. And when you talk about psychopaths, when they do brain scans on them, that is the only part of the brain that actually gets stimulated when you see other things around them. Like we would have the whole brain lighting up with these oranges and greens and blues and yellows, whereas the psychopath brain would not react to any of those emotional stimuli whatsoever. And that's what the mindset is really about, a predator brain, essentially, with no empathy, no creativity, and utter envy and hatred for all freedom, life, and everything that makes us human, and intensely jealous of the gifts we've been given that it has been denied. Very, very much in line with the same principles that the Christians called the devil or Satan or Lucifer.
All right. Very well said. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time because I want to hear what you two have to say. So thank you again and have a good weekend.
Thanks for your call, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
All right. All right, Roxy, final question I normally give my guests here while we've still got time. I think we've only got maybe less than 5 minutes, but yeah, it's about self-censorship, how we all kind of, especially on radio or if we're being interviewed on video or something, there will be some times where we'll censor ourselves to a degree for fear that maybe the host might judge us or the audience might not comprehend us or something. Some of the crazy stuff. Something that offers some real deep personal insight about the person who we really are that we kind of are uncomfortable with sharing to a degree. I like to offer this space as the opportunity for somebody like yourself who very rarely censors themselves to come and bring out those real, real juicy nuggets.
What are you asking?
Anything that can really spring to mind.
Are you talking about me personally?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Something that is personal that I have no idea. I'm pretty much an open book. I'm very public, so I don't know anything that I could say that would be in line with that question. I do have my privacy, and things that are private are just that, they're private. And I definitely discern the difference between going public with something and then privacy, whether it be something that happens under my own roof with my family or a good friend or whatever. So, you know, I really – what's in the public is what's in the public. And I don't know. Do you know something about me that I don't know? Go ahead.
Well, as I mentioned before the show, I do no research on my guests before interviewing because it kind of – well, on the one hand – who better to explain the guest than the guests themselves?
Sure.
And on the other hand, if I think I know something about the guests in the first place, it prejudices what questions, thoughts, and things I might want to take in a different direction.
Gotcha. Yeah, I really don't have, like I said, I'm pretty discerning about what goes into the public. For what I stand for and my belief systems or what have you, I'm very forthright with that. And there are no secrets when it comes to that. And then the stuff that's private remains private for good reasons. And I keep it like that. So there's, you know, if somebody had a question, you know, I don't know. I mean, it could be anything. but I really don't know what to say. Nothing comes to my mind, actually.
Yeah. Well, in that case, we go to the secondary and you ask somebody to say, well, if that's the case, if you've already become an open book, how can you advise somebody who's currently closed off to open it in the first place? Did you open it in a similar way, or had you already been open?
I think that there are many different ways for somebody to become that. And I think when one is comfortable with themselves, they have more freedom to express themselves and their own authenticity. I think authenticity is beautiful. I really look up to people who are really themselves. And, all my life, it's very attractive when somebody is just who they are. And it's authentic, and it energetically is uplifting. And I think we'd all strive to be that. And I think it's a natural process. And I think that it's a safety thing. I think that people who don't open themselves up or expose themselves to the world are afraid. They're afraid they're going to get laughed at, or they're going to afraid they're going to get ridiculed, or they're not good enough. This all goes back to very low self-esteem you know what I'm saying? So in order to assist anybody, I don't think it's about the secret or exposure. I think it's more about creating that bubble of respect.
You know what? I think that basically is the key of it. I mean, when you talk about, say, a magic circle or a circle of protection or something like that, like you would see in a fantasy movie or whatever, that's actually what respect, dignity, and I think the willingness to be who you are and simply do the right thing, no matter how much wrong is going on around you, that is what magic is.
I think you're right. It's a beautiful thing. Vinny, thank you for having me on the show. I really had a good time with you today.
Yeah. And, Roxy, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You're freaking magic.
Ah, aren't you the bomb? Kisses and hugs to you, my friend. I salute you. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. You're awesome. You're great. You're great, Hank, for the last couple hours. Very cool.
Yeah, thank you very much. And kisses and hugs on to everybody else, and including the caller who's just called in at the last minute. I don't know, Roxy, maybe when you go live in the next few minutes, you'll be able to give that anonymous caller a little something to talk about. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. I'm moving house now, so for those of you who want to join the social chat, I probably won't be part of it. We'll see you again next week, ladies and gentlemen, after Labor Day, of course, because we're taking Monday off.